You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Bachelor Pad After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Bachelor Pad After Show.
In finding Mr. Right,
be your man
tonight. Yeah!
What's up, Tina?
All right, guys. We all know that Bing is for doing it. What are we doing? We're doing it! Yes. We're doing another rock star after show for AfterBuzz TV. I'm JC, and this is Bachelor Pad, Season 3, Episode 7. Let's introduce our hot rock star co-host. What's up, ladies?
Hello, I'm Catherine Kelly.
What up, guys? Kenan Bliss here.
All right, guys, you know this is going to be a great show. Chat roll, if you guys are watching us live, what's up? Watchtower Base. Hey, I even got a little message from Chris Lee. You know, hope you get better. Hope you feel well soon. But if you can't see us live, make sure to watch us on YouTube and download us on iTunes, y'all. We're going to go. We're going for the top. We're going for number one. We bring you all this entertainment every week, and all we ask is for you to subscribe, comment, let us know what you think, let us know what you think about Kathy's guyliner she put on me this week.
Yeah, it's looking really good if you can't see it.
And just what you think about
and
the show.
My sleeve.
And Candon's sleeve.
And our horrible singing. I apologize for that.
I think that was awesome.
It's been a great show. It's a great show already, guys. Thank you for the applause.
Thank you. And this show's going to be entertaining tonight, so
get ready. Strap in, guys. And, of course, I want to do a quick shout-out to Amir and Marissa. Marissa, what's going on, guys?
Hey, what's up?
All right, you guys ready for a rock star episode of Bachelor Pad?
Of course. Yeah.
Okay, let's rock out with our bachelor out. All right. Tonight, we've got Hanging by a Thread, Bachelor Oki, and the emergence of Nick.
Who is Nick?
Who is Nick?
Oh, he's letting himself be known. I'm calling him the Don.
The Don?
Yeah, it feels a little, just what he did at the end with Rachel.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that a little bit later, but let's talk about just thoughts. What did you guys think about tonight's episode?
I was surprised that there were two competitions in one episode.
Yeah, that was new.
Yeah.
Different.
Were you guys okay with that? I missed the date. I mm-hmm. wish they still had, like, you know, it's...
Yeah, it's funny because as now they're competing as couples, and I feel mm-hmm. like the whole couple atmosphere is gone as far as the game is concerned. Like, I feel like the whole beginning of this season was very much, like, couple-y things, and they had dates, and now that people are actually a couple, they're not reaping any of those benefits.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the first season. I know in last season, in Bachelor Pad 2, their finale was actually 3 hours long, and the first hour was the final competition. Mm-hmm. Last season we had the aerial acrobatics thing where they kind of climbed up
Cirque
a wall.
Cirque du Soleil.
And they had that, the final elimination, right before they went into the finale. So it was this 3 hour long thing, and this time they changed it up and did two competitions in the 7th episode. So
I think they always know what's going on. They have a master plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not changing the outcome, but they've just threaded it in such a way that they're setting us up for just what might happen, what happened tonight. Tonight was a great episode. It was so great that we dressed up in costume for it. And homage. And did you find anything interesting tonight that stuck out for you, Cannon?
I mean, I know we're going to talk about Nick. I think he's just come out of nowhere. I think everybody, yeah. I think everybody, even the viewers at home, are going to be just as surprised at what we've seen from Nick tonight.
Yeah.
As far as coming out of his shell and being a person that exists on the show. Yeah.
I mean, it was cutthroat tonight. Yeah. I felt like people were not backstabbing, but they were in it for the game and they're not in it for, you know, love anymore.
Well, the money's right there. Like, it's so close for these guys.
So it's shifted. It's shifted. It's money. Yeah. It's all the money. But here's the irony that the ones that we thought were all about the money, well, at least one person, it turns out that she's in it for love. And we're going to go get into that a little bit later. Aww. One of our new favorite couple. Blakely and Tony. So,
I was like, where are you going with this?
Blaney.
A lot of,
and, you know, it's just this, how the game has just turned. So let's get into our first game, which was Hanging by a Thread. And you guys were, we disagreed while we were watching it, because you guys thought that Nick should be the one hanging, you know, by a thread and let Rachel answer the questions.
Yeah, I mean, look at those guns. Are you kidding me?
I would say, I understand where you were coming from, JC, and saying that he has too much weight on him and too much muscle mass to hold himself up. But I know that there are a lot of girls out there, and Rachel may be one of them, that do not have any upper body strength whatsoever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know I'm like that. But, like, holding on to a bar, it doesn't matter. I just felt like, even though she said she didn't know that much Bachelor trivia, she...
I think Nick could have held on for a long time.
And also, Nick didn't get that many questions right either. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was second out after Blakely.
Yeah.
So
I love your opinions right now, Kathy, but it's hard for me. If you guys aren't watching us, it's hard for me to take my hand and my eyes off her hand that has all the lyrics of Jessica Kirsten on it.
She's copying Chris.
Yeah. I thought I would forget the lyrics, so I had to remind myself.
Awesome.
I mean, I didn't know that. That's good applause. Yeah, look at that.
Okay, we got high energy. Kenny, what'd you think? Okay, were you surprised that Chris and Sarah won again?
No, but I know we kind of touched on this while we were all watching it. I didn't like the competition.
Why?
I didn't like what it was. I feel like we've had these question Bachelor show trivia games before, and it was nothing different. I didn't feel like it was that exciting or different or, I don't know, inventive, creative. I was ready for, like, this last competition. Like, come on.
Yeah, because the questions, I don't know, they were just like a rehash of the first game they played a few weeks ago, and
yeah,
like what you said
before, even on this season.
I would think that if you know that you're going to go on Bachelor Pad, you would watch every single episode of Bachelor Pad from the past couple seasons. You would brush up on every single, you know, Bachelorette, Bachelor episode that you can that's on Hulu, whatever. Like, all of these websites have these for you, so you should be watching them and taking notes, because you know that at some point in the season they're going to do a questionnaire like this. And
it's not like it's the first season.
It's right. For $250,000. Yeah. Why wouldn't you do that?
Okay, and with that said, you said it earlier, kissing competition. we could have saved the questions for this week and replaced that earlier question competition with a kissing competition.
I do like the questionnaires, because it does bring out a lot of backstabbing. It does, you know, get a lot of people caught. You know, in
the
first,
you're talking about the first one.
That questionnaire, it was, you know, they asked questions about other people
about
in the house.
Said. Yeah.
But the kissing competition, I mean, as trashy as it is, I think it's hysterical. I think it's funny.
It was trashy. And I mean, like, I'm not saying I would have voted for that competition in this one's place, but I think they could have done a little bit better. Even, I mean, did they do a pie eating contest this year?
No.
No, yeah. I mean, nothing like Fear Factor-ish or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, we're missing that. So next, ABC, please bring, as a fan, I know it's, call it trash. I like, it's the kiss. I know Chrissy would be just having a fit right now. If you're watching us, you can chat roll us, you can tweet us, you know, let us know. But I like the kissing competition, because it's making out and the money and all that.
That's Bachelor Pad.
Thank you.
I mean, there is no Bachelor Pad without some weird, awkward making out scenes. So, yeah.
All right. So, well, what happened this time is the winner actually had to eliminate a couple immediately. Mm-hmm. And
that's
I think
tough.
It was a cool
you
twist.
Think so?
Well, I mean, it wasn't tough. It wasn't tough for the couple that won, but in general, that's a tough spot to be in, and we saw that twice tonight of a couple being in that position, like a double-edged sword, like Rachel said. Mm-hmm. That it's tough.
You kind of saw it a mile away with Blakely still in the game and Chris winning.
Totally.
You know, he finally got his chance. And, okay, I know he may be different outside of the show, but I kind of found it a little off-putting that when he had his time to make his decision, they decided to go into this little celebration of how good they've played the game. And we did this and did this. And they said, you know, Ed did this to me. Like, Ed didn't have my back. And
it, it was kind of immature of him to say, you know, like, I've been in this, like, and Blakely, you ruined my entire strategy. Well, obviously, she's, you know, there for the money, too. Like, you're all competing. Mm-hmm. And whether these people, you know, ruin your strategy, that's the name of the game.
But wait, like, but Chris is mature, you guys.
That whole rant was immature.
I agree. I totally agree. I mean, it's just unnecessary at that point. And that's where class and character comes into play, I think, is that when you're in that position, like, power, I don't know. For me, power comes with responsibility. And if you're at that point, why? Why make more enemies when you're already at the top? And there's no point. It's just demeaning. There's just no point other than pride.
You know, I'm already reprocessing what I just said. And the best way I would play it is indifference. But then does indifference bring ratings? Because if you're just like, Blakely, goodbye. You know, you're out. Blakely and Tony. But the fact that he got to say that adds a little more juice to if Chris is the ultimate somewhat villain of this season.
Yeah.
I don't really think of him as a villain. He's just a shrewd player. But, you know.
I would almost, like, if he knows that he's in the top three couples and that he has the potential to be in the top two, he should say, I am really sorry for how I acted this entire season. I did it for the name of the game, and I didn't mean any to hurt anyone's feelings. Yep. I didn't mean to do any of that. Because then he knows that all of the, you know, past contestants who were voted off are going to be voting for him in the finale, and that would have been a smarter strategy.
It was bad.
Honestly.
It was a bad game move for him.
So it's time. So there comes a point, like, let's say from now on, like when you're getting in the penultimate episode, you start campaigning in a little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you start absolutely.
Because
why? He doesn't know who's going to be in. If he thinks he's going to be in the bottom, I mean, in the top two at this point, he's in the top three now or whatever. If he thinks that he's going to be in the top two, why? I don't know. But he doesn't know who's going to be up there with him.
Mm-hmm.
So why is he going to make enemies with somebody who might be in the audience voting or not voting for him?
And even in that, you know, top four couples that we had at the beginning of the show tonight, there are four votes there that aren't, you know, mm-hmm. like there are four separate votes. And you saying to Blakely all that stuff, obviously now she's not going to vote for you. I don't know if she would have done it anyways. But
Tony was on his, I mean, Tony was friends with him. And the fact that he, I mean, he kind of said, like, yeah, Tony, you're my boy. You deserve to be here. But
maybe Tony will vote for him in the final. I don't know. But, I mean, Blakely, for sure, I will say 99% sure, unless they somehow patch something up between the end of filming and the finale, she is not going to vote for Chris.
Okay. Based on, we know Ed and Jacqueline go home at the end of this episode. How does that affect now Ed and Jacqueline, what Chris said to Ed? I mean, Ed's not going to, I don't think Ed's going to vote for Chris now.
They're still friends. I don't know.
And remember, there's a period of time between
the
second to last episode and the finale.
Yeah.
There was a nice, because I don't know if it's like a month gap or something. You know, chat roll if you guys know, let us know. But
I think it's about a 6-week gap because they start airing the episodes pretty much immediately after they start filming. And in that time, we know from Twitter that Chris and Ed have hung out. They both live in Chicago. They're friends.
Mm-hmm.
They went to various charity events together. They went out drinking a bunch of times. Like, they're friends, so why wouldn't he vote for him?
I think it comes down to the difference between, okay, good thing you guys are on that side, men and women, how they play the game.
Yeah.
I think men can take emotion out of it, and they understand that the goal is the pot of gold at the end.
Yeah.
And they'll be fine afterwards. I think women, as the game moves further along, and let's say they're not falling in love, if you're playing the game, your emotions get involved, and that confuses you towards the end.
We're emotional creatures.
Okay.
What can you say?
All right, for that Oprah moment, let's move on to Okay, we're gonna change it up a little bit. You know, we're gonna talk about their second competition, which was Bachelor-oki, where they're doing a performance of Night Ranger. Oh, which
we didn't mention that Tony and Blakely get the axe.
Yes, let's talk about that. Yeah, I'm sorry, Kathy. Thank you.
No, what? I was just gonna say. Just to mention it.
Well, I mean, what'd you think about what you saw in the limo ride and the fact that Tony, he wanted to win the money for his son, but he said it himself right there. He got something greater than the money itself.
Yeah.
I think he was totally content. I think, I mean, I didn't see any sort of, I mean, yeah, he's going to say I wanted the money because obviously he wanted the money, but I don't think he was even at a point. I think once the shift happened with Blakely, I don't think he was really even in it for the money anymore. I think he totally was just like, whatever.
He would have been happy winning the money, but he was also very happy winning Blakely.
Absolutely.
And for all of those haters who say that Bachelor Pad is not a place to find love, Tony and Blakely found love in a hopeless place. So,
quoting Rihanna.
Yes.
Oh, God. No, okay, and has a better track record now than Bachelor or Bachelorette, percentage-wise, of the couples that
based on the number of people, right?
Yeah, that have paired up. I mean, you got Blake and Holly from last year; they got married, and
Kipton and Tinley, and then it seems like we have two couples off of this season for now.
I'm saying Bachelor needs to go to the drawing board, and let's just start doing Bachelor Pad every season.
Please, no.
Okay. I would watch Bachelor Pad every day.
That was bad. Okay, but now, Blakely did seem a little more reserved, and at first I always thought that it was maybe that Tony is more into her, but I was, Cannon shaking her head no.
I mean, yes, I think Tony's way into Blakely, but I think she is really finding how much she can rely on him for a lot of things and how much peace and calm he brings to her life. And I think she can really let her guard down with him. Mm-hmm. And she's talked about her relationships on the show for a long time, about how she's had bad relationships and bad guys in her life. And he's a good one. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think she's going to really change and be, maybe we'll see really who she is. And not kind of that defensive front.
Mm-hmm. So he's chipping away.
I think that she had that defense from past relationships. And then also she had a defense up because Chris kind of, you know, stabbed her in the back. And so she didn't want to get romantically involved with someone else right away. And Tony was just very persistent. And it ended up working out. So.
Yeah. But I think it's. Their exit interview, Blakely didn't seem as enthused as Tony. You know, like Tony was gushing. Mm-hmm. But what that told me was that she's very cautious because she knows she's going to fall in love with this man. Yeah. And so she's just very cautious with her heart because she's never really let it out because she has that tough exterior.
I don't think she knows how to express her feelings verbally. I think it's really hard sometimes for somebody who's been hurt to say it out loud, because then that's really validating it. Mm-hmm. And that's a scary thing. That's a really vulnerable place to be in, because then you're also accountable to it as well. So,
and folks, so you know, it's just purely speculation. If we want the truth, we go to Twitter. Okay.
No, I was just going to say that I've heard so many times that when you really are in love, you don't feel the need to publicize it all the time because you don't need, you know, other people's validation. You know that you have it. And I feel like that's what Blakely and Tony feel. Like, they don't need to be, like, shouting it from the rooftops, like, oh, yeah, this is the one. It's going to work out. Like, blah, blah, blah. They're secure in it. So
comfortable.
And who'd have thunk it? They're, like, our favorite couple.
I know. Yeah. It's funny.
I would never think it. Going back to Bachelorette last season, going to Ben's season, I would never think that I would be rooting for them so much, but I love them together.
Even, like, 3 episodes ago, I think, on Bachelor Pad, we were like, what?
I don't know.
I don't know what's happening. And then now we're totally rooting for them. So way to go, guys. They've done a good job making the audience like them. I will say that. Mm-hmm. Beginning of the season, I still didn't like Blakely. I think I really didn't like her until she was in this thing. Because I feel like she's more herself. She's more vulnerable. She's crying, but in a good way.
Not an ugly cry, like.
Well, I'm not saying it wasn't ugly. I'm just saying
some other people on the show.
I think it's a real cry. It's not like a frustrated, angry, mean cry. It's like a heartfelt cry.
And think about it. We've analyzed the heck.
Oh, we're analyzing
out of Blakely.
We're analyzing it to the bone for sure.
No, because remember, she was like Katie and I from doing Bachelor. Mm-hmm. She was a point of contention for us. Like,
totally.
She and Courtney were like the alpha females that I liked them. The girls weren't big fans of them. So yeah.
Blakely was more likable right before she left Bachelor. Like the last maybe
because
episode.
Because Courtney was such a
because Courtney
huge
was so
bee.
Yeah, she was horrible. I think she took the cake. I mean, but Blakely still, I didn't like her literally until like now-ish.
Okay, so
well now we love them and they're gone.
Yeah, I know. That sucks.
So, you love them more when they're gone.
Okay, so. If you love them, let them go.
So let's move on to Night Ranger.
Yes.
Yes.
Now we can move on.
Christian. Yes, you have okay. You wrote it on my arm. We have it our
it's all over.
It's all over us.
It's so. Over here.
Yeah, you've got the lyrics on your hand, Kathy.
I have a Blakely. I can't really show
tattoo.
It.
Blakely tattoo. Dude, this is like verbal bouquets for Blakely night. Okay. Yeah. What I thought was so funny of when they started the competition mm-hmm. was that Chris Harrison, did he say they're going?
They're going to be horrible.
Yes.
They're going to be terrible.
I was like, wow.
Night Ranger said the guy from Night Ranger is like, you think they're going to they're going to do okay? And he's like, no, they're going to be terrible.
So, yeah.
No, I was going to say they were terrible. Even after they had singing coaches.
That's what's very surprising, because actually I was kind of taking notes like before they actually played all the audition footage and where they're prepping and stuff. And I said, they're not going to play any like American Idol type stuff. And I want it to be like Idol where you see them like dancing in the hallways of the hotel, you know, till 24 hours a day before the competition. And so I was kind of glad that we saw that.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't do anything. They didn't rehearse. They didn't choreograph anything.
They tried to choreograph stuff. But
they sat there on the bench and they're like, let's just read the lyrics over and over again.
I mean, that's the way to learn the lyrics, I guess. They're not allowed to have iPods in the house. They're not allowed to have MP3 players of any kind. So the way to learn the lyrics is to read them over and over again.
I don't know. Do you think they would have given them they're like an iPod just for this competition? No music, just leave that song just to give them that opportunity.
They had the song in the show. They were playing it on their radios. Chris and Sarah were listening to it on a boombox.
So,
like,
yeah.
So they were
singing it. Nick was singing it in the kitchen while he was cooking.
I would not sleep that night. I don't know if any of the contestants in the house did, but if I were in that competition, I would not sleep. Because it's for $250,000, and you know you have to learn all the lyrics, make up some choreography.
I would go to sleep with the headphones on, you know, like the hypnotic stuff that people listen to when they go to sleep, like the motivational stuff or like learning
That's
things in their
weird.
Sleep. People do that, and they wake up and claim to be like so smart afterwards.
It's funny you brought up Idol. So I say we play a little game. We're going to turn into like the Simon, Paula, Randy. We're going to do our very own Idol critique.
Have we assigned characters? Are we being honest?
It was awful.
There we go. Yeah, Kathy, you've been working on the English accent all night, so you could be Simon and Candon. I don't know. You pick. You could be Randy or Paula.
No, you can be Paula. My last name is Jackson. No, I'm just
okay.
Kidding. Let's just be honest.
But before we get into it, once again, guys, if you're watching us, make sure to comment, subscribe. I'm tying it all in. iTunes, guys. We really need those comments. Really helps us out. Helps us bring you content every week at no cost to you. So please just make sure to comment, subscribe.
Let us know what you think of this whole like theme thing we got going on. It's new tonight.
Yeah, and let us know if you want us to do something next week as well.
And maybe we'll drop our new single on iTunes soon. So
maybe. That.
Yes, Sister Christian.
She let the secret out earlier.
All right, so first contestants we have is Rachel and Nick. What'd you think, Simon, Kathy?
I thought when they first came out and they started singing, I was like, this is going to be the worst performance. And then I saw the other ones.
Fair enough.
I was just hoping for some more air guitar, and I thought that Nick killed it. He was amazing. And Rachel, I thought out of all the girls, she had the best singing voice. I could tell that she was a little bit nervous to be up there, but she let loose at the end of the performance.
What about you, Rockstar Cannon?
Rachel, I wish you really tapped into that sexy, raspy voice thing you got going on. I mean, that would have been, like, really cool.
Okay, that was a great analysis there, Candon.
Thank you.
I also love...
Sarcasm is not lost by the engineers in the back.
I love Nick's guy liner. He was the only one that went all out and did the guy liner. And JC has some lovely guy liner on tonight.
No, Nick killed it. I mean, I think I could have seen some more air guitar and like really getting into it. But and Rachel has a good voice. I think she did. She was nervous and didn't embrace it as much as she could have. But she looked the part. They both looked the part, and they did. It was entertaining.
Rachel has that rock star look to her.
I thought she looked hot.
Yeah,
I thought Rachel is sexy.
Well, we all know that you think Rachel is sexy. The entire world knows it.
She proved it. I thought she pulled off the rock star, the smoky voice, just the key change. She knew where she was going. She stuck to her lane. I'm using idol phrases here. She stuck to her lane. She blew it out. Like, it was, you know, and Nick was a little pitchy dog, but, you know, he was...
But he was in it.
Yeah.
Like, he was committed.
Okay.
Which was cool.
He had the best rock star attitude. He looked like he was
and even
star.
Everybody else on the side, like, the other contestants were like, who is that?
Where did this personality
did
come
this guy,
from?
Like, oh my gosh, he's talking and, like, being loud. What is that?
I think that's the biggest surprise that everyone's getting. I almost think the producers knew that he was going to... Well, no, because we didn't know he was going to stay, but...
Yeah. Ed was getting so mad. He's like, he's been antisocial for weeks, and then 3 days ago, he finally finds a personality.
Is that the strategy?
That's awesome strategy.
Is that the strategy? I mean,
Coast by, and then...
Yeah, I'm like, I'm still in shock, but okay. So we thought they were good.
Yes.
And Ed and Jacqueline... The same can't be said for that. Okay, Candy is hitting her head on the mic. Candy, why? What happened?
I just think it's hysterical that Ed, I mean, Ed, we love you, but he was like, oh, this is my favorite song. Yeah. I know all about it. I sing it every day. And he totally blew it. Totally.
Performance anxiety?
I don't know.
He doesn't have it in the bedroom,
I don't know what it was. It was just terrible. Like, he didn't even pick up Jacqueline's slack.
No, but here, Jacqueline dropped the first line. She didn't even start. They were doomed from the start.
Yes, they were, but it doesn't matter. If that's your fate, if that's your mantra, like your song, if somebody screws it up, you're going to jump in there and you're going to be like, take it over, and you're going to make it work.
For a $250,000, sure.
Ed, he's, you know, the guy.
For someone who claims to have his PhD in karaoke, that was... A fail.
Wow, Ed, you have a chance to respond. Please tweet us. Let us know. That is Kathy Kelly who just blew you out. No, but... Wow, it is Todrick here in AfterBuzz tonight.
Print us out that PhD. Let us see it.
Okay, my honest opinion, and this is turning idol style here.
Okay.
I thought it was tasteless.
Totally.
I thought it was trashy. I really did. They didn't know what to do, so they panicked, and then they started gyrating and getting on top of each other.
And taking off their clothes.
Yeah, and for me, that's weird, because I like the touching, but it just felt tasteless to me. They went to the lowest common denominator to try to save it.
I thought that they were trying to do that whole, you know, 80s, 90s rock theme where you're, like, on top of a car and, like, doing the hair thing, and it just didn't work out.
I think also it's a little bit more tasteless because it wasn't genuine. Like, if they were, like, in love and, like, you knew the relationship and they were, like, I don't know, and they were having this moment on stage, it would have been different. But she was just, like... I don't know. It's just raunchy and weird.
But that was part of the competition. They wanted to see who had the most chemistry. And, you know, Night Ranger was judging them. They had no idea up until that point whether these were actual couples or not. Right. So I thought it was good strategy to do. As tasteless as it might have been, it was good strategy to show that they had chemistry.
But who won? The two who are not at all a couple.
I was going to just bring up the fact that Nick said it's a song,
about a brother.
Brother and sister.
Totally. Yeah. That totally ties in. It's a song about a brother and a sister, and gyrating on stage with each other does not make any sense. Yeah. And the fact that Nick and Rachel just have that kind of brother-sister relationship genuinely made it believable.
I would have loved
if they even have that.
Yeah, exactly.
I would have loved to have been a fly on that wall to listen to that concert, just to hear it live, just to see the train wreck. Because let's move on to the...
Well, Chris and Sarah.
Yeah, the mech of the group. Chris and Sarah.
Is that what you were going to say?
Mech. They're okay. They weren't bad. They weren't great. They were just...
I thought they had a lot of potential, and Sarah seemed like she was really excited about this competition. She loved Night Ranger and Sister Christian, and
She looked the part.
In there, when they had the singing coach, she didn't fare so well. And I think that that gave her performance anxiety.
Yeah, she started getting nervous. And Chris threw up.
That was hilarious.
Wow. I mean, literally. So you could tell he's just... As much crap that we gave him earlier and whatnot, he's just so in it to win it. And
you know, most of those guys who come across as uber cocky, I feel like have some kind of deep down self-confidence issues. And I feel like he's that. I mean, he's worried about being judged. Who isn't? And this is a competition about being judged. So it's going to bring out the worst in him.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he, in the competition, for me, who just stood out was Sarah with the crazy monkey dance.
Seizing on stage.
That was bizarre.
She was into it. I have to give her that. I think she put in 100% effort.
She tried.
All right. So,
she tried.
All right. So they were. All right. So you're happy with who won? Nick and,
yes. Yeah.
Nick and Rachel?
I think it was fair.
Yeah?
Completely.
And Nick's quote. I've never won a rose, man.
That was awesome.
I've never been safe in a rose ceremony before.
Ever.
Ever. Not on Bachelorette.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
So.
He must be through the moon.
All right. So that moves on. Speaking of Nick, the emergence of Nick. We can talk about the aftermath because now they were in a great position. With them winning the competition, they got to pick who's to be eliminated next.
Mm-hmm.
And that put Rachel in the, you know, Rachel, of course, wanted to keep her BFF,
Jacqueline,
but Nick thought otherwise. Did he make a right choice?
I think he completely took hold of that decision. And if it were up to, I mean, Jacqueline said it best, if it were up to Rachel and Michael, if they had still been the couple, Jacqueline and Ed would have gone to the finals with Rachel and Michael.
I don't know if I agree, because Michael's the puppet master. He's the guy. He's the strategy guy. Mm-hmm. I think he would, and I don't know that much about him, but I'm assuming he would have known strategically that everybody loves Ed and nobody's going to vote for Michael Stagliano because he already won. So, of course, like, I don't know either way, but mm-hmm. I don't know that 100% it would have been different.
I think Stag's not dishonest about that, though. Like, he would bring, you know, the couple that he would want a fair fight, in my opinion. I don't know what he would actually do.
That's the neat thing that we
don't know what a fair
Stag,
fight
you're mysterious.
Like.
We don't know. That makes him awesome because you don't know where you stand with him.
Yeah.
So for these type of games, it's just like,
you know, I don't know who I would bring.
You don't know. You.
I'm doing the Michael Stag.
Yeah, that's right.
My hands left.
He does that.
If you guys are watching this, watch the girls make their Michael Stagliano impersonation. So, yeah, but what I loved with Nick was just this emergence, almost like this Don Corleone thing, you know, because Rachel was, you know, had to keep Jacqueline, but he sold her on the fact that, you know, if we keep Ed and Jacqueline, we're out. You know, this is about us winning the money,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you could see her wheels turning. She wasn't happy, but she knew that he was making the right decision for them.
My question is that if Rachel was in any other sort of emotional state, what would have happened?
As in, if
she and Michael hadn't had this thing that ended and now he's gone and she's in this emotional distress state, she's far more vulnerable now to somebody coddling her and telling her what to do and, you know, saying, I care about you and it's about you and it's, don't you want this? And I feel like if she was like confident in herself and in her own situation and she was really, really there, I'm curious to see what she would have done.
I have to agree with Nick, though, on this. Like, it was a good strategy to bring Chris and Sarah to the finale or whatever, because they do have a better chance against them. If I were a contestant that had been voted off and Ed and Jacqueline were in the finale next to Nick and Rachel, I would definitely vote for Ed and Jacqueline because I wouldn't know who Nick was. And, I mean, I think Ed's hysterical and whatever, so.
Yeah, no.
I wanted to see him in the finale.
Okay, so let's move on to the elimination, because I want to bring up a question at the end of this. So we know what happened, that basically Ed and Jacqueline are gone. And, Candy, you actually brought up the fact that you said that Jacqueline knew?
I feel like she did. Like, there was just a moment when she looked, like, you could see her, like, shaking her head at the camera. And, I mean, Rachel did not look happy. No. If she knew her best, if Rachel was like, I'm taking my best friend to the finale, she would have been like smiling and like happy, but she was not. Mm-hmm. She couldn't even look at Jacqueline. So mm-hmm. I feel like Jacqueline had to know what was about to go down because she didn't look happy either. And Ed was kind of jumping around in his shoes a little bit too.
Ed looked like he was dressed for a funeral.
He was very clean.
Yeah.
I like the little brush there, the good. Side look. He looks good.
He looked like a little boy. You know, like he's just yeah. Like,
no, he looked like Don Draper from Mad Men.
Totally.
Oh, all right. Okay. All right. Now here's
my
question.
Go ahead. You ask a question. I was going to ask a question, but it's fine.
Go ahead. What's
no,
the
you please. Yeah.
Please.
You're the leader.
I insist. Oh no, we're all a team.
I'll go.
Okay.
I just think it's funny that when Ed and Jacqueline left in their limos, Ed did not go over to Jacqueline's limo. And that is showing you that they are not a couple.
Nope.
And Ed does not care about her as much as she cares about him.
Oh, you're calling ding, it. Ding. Okay. Showmance. All right. Now, if you guys were in that same situation, would you lose a friend over money if you were in that bachelor pad position?
It depends on who my friend is.
It's your BFF. They're like
BFFs. If it was Jacqueline, no. If it was my best friend in the world, I would probably bring my best friend to the finale. Or I would tell them that I'd split the money with them at the end.
I wonder if you can do that. I don't know. Contractually, I wonder if you're not allowed to share it with other competitors after the fact.
Last season, it was no secret that all four of them split the money.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow, and I'm a bachelor nerd.
I'm pretty sure that...
Really?
I'm like 99% sure that Stag, Holly... Or was it first season?
Michelle Money and Graham Bunn.
Yeah, yeah.
The four of them...
It was one of the two
We'll have
seasons.
To find out, guys. Look it up. And you know, no, I'll take your word for it, absolutely. But now, would you do it, Candid?
That's tough. I mean, I don't envy that situation. It's basically comes down to what are you in it for? And I think as two best friends going into this competition, I think you got to have that talk at some point and mm-hmm. be like, this is like just, you know, we're in this for the game. I love you to death, but this is the game. If you're mm-hmm. going to, I mean, I would not choose to go on a show like this in general or with my best friend.
Yeah, you're more of a bachelor girl. Got it.
Yeah. But I wouldn't even want to go on there with my best friend because I just don't see that being a positive thing any way you put it.
Well, you have an ally for the most part until you stab them in the back.
Right, but you know it's going to get to that point. Yeah. You know if you're successful, you're going to get to that point. And if you're successful with each other, you're both going to get there. And one of you is going to get hurt and one of you is going to end up on top. So I just think it's an awkward position to put yourself in general. And I think they should have known that going in. And I mean... I'm sure we can say this. We've seen pictures of Rachel and Jacqueline, like,
we talked
out
about,
and about. Like, they've been hanging out, so we know.
They went to Chicago together to visit Chris and Ed.
For Jacqueline's birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we know it's not an issue now. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe they were mad at each other when it happened, I'm sure. And I'm sure it was really difficult, but...
I think it was all Jacqueline's fault for pairing up with Ed. If she had paired up with Chris, Rachel wouldn't have cared if she had come to the finale.
Very true. You know, I said this for a reason. It's only a setup because you told me during the show, Kathy, that fans have actually asked if you would ever do like The Bachelor, if you'd ever be on Bachelor and whatnot. I'm only setting up because if you do ever get on Bachelor and you go to Bachelor Pad, now people know that you would not backstab your friends. See, I just totally set you up.
Yeah.
Girl. Sorry, I had to do that. We're having our own Bachelor Pad here at AfterBuzz. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Boo it. Chrissy's not here to regulate. Okay, all right. So any other parting thoughts with tonight's episode, guys? What'd you think overall?
I'm just so pumped for the finale. Like, I'm ready to just see. I mean, we've been waiting this whole time, you know, seeing everybody change and relationships develop and relationships fall. And, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in it to win it.
And I can't wait for our after show next week because all three of us did go to the finale taping. And we didn't stay until the end, so we don't know who wins. Mm-hmm. But we got a lot of juicy gossip to tell you guys.
A lot of observations. A lot of, I mean, we have some cool stuff that's going to happen and things that are going to be exciting, but, and not as exciting maybe, But interesting observations that I think if you know us as AfterBuzz people and you know our personalities, you're going to be interested to see what we saw and how we perceive people in relationships and things like that.
It's romantic. It's dramatic. It's everything.
So that's the tease. It's
catty.
Seriously, it's the best finale ever. No. Do we have any news and gossip? Let's move into that if we have a chance. So some news and gossip with Kathy.
We do.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Okay, so news and gossip. The first on the list is Jeff Holm is making his way across America to move from his home in Salt Lake City to North Carolina to be with Emily.
So,
the big move is happening now.
It's official.
He started a couple days ago and has been traveling. He stopped in Kansas City and Missouri, like all these different places, and giving out people water along the way.
Nice. Is she with him or is she with Ricky back in North Carolina?
I believe that he's driving with one of his friends.
Nice.
Yeah.
So. I'm sure he's making it an adventure, Instagramming it all the way there.
Totally.
Southern Belles don't do road trips.
No.
Yeah, Candon, you know.
No.
And then another piece of news is the hunt for the next Bachelor continues. And we've said for a while that it's between Roberto, Sean, and Ari. They have to make a decision within the next couple days because filming actually does start later this month. And the producers said that they haven't decided yet, which I don't know if that's true or not, or they just haven't announced it to the public. Maybe they will announce it next week at the Bachelor Pad finale episode. It'd be nice to know. But Ari is officially out of the race.
You're happy.
See what I did there? The race? Because he's a race car driver.
Oh.
Yeah. But anyways, he's out of the race. And he said that he wants to focus on his career, so he will not be participating in The Bachelor. But I don't think that he was a front runner anyway. I mean, he was in top three. I don't think that Ryan Lochte was going to be Bachelor, or who was the other guy that was in the running?
Someone brought up Ed.
Ed would be a hilarious Bachelor, but
maybe on Comedy Central. But yeah.
Flavor of Ed on VH1.
That's disturbing.
leaving that alone.
Disturbing.
No, but here's the thought. We talked about it, Kathy. Now, I don't know if you're in the room, Candon. What, since it's really basically we think between Roberto and Sean.
Yeah.
Why not combine the two and have the two guys, since they have huge fan bases, and have like 30 women. And it would... I don't
think there's enough airtime to get all that in.
But that's a lot of man cake there, a lot of man beef.
You know that there would be women across America, millions of women tuning in for 4 hours of Roberto and Sean. Even I have said this to Millsy and like all the other producers. I've tweeted them and said, if you just did a screen grab of Sean's abs for 4 hours, you would kill it in the ratings. So with women,
I'm serious.
Not a bad idea,
because they're always tinkering around with it. And before it gets, because sometimes the fans get mad that you recycle Bachelors. But now, what if you recycle two huge fan base guys? I mean, because if you read all the blogs, like America, the women love Roberto and they love Sean. They're like, they're crazy for those two guys.
Yeah.
Now put them together. That's a ratings bonanza. Come on.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I don't know if the Roberto buzz is going to be as powerful because it's not as fresh.
Right.
I think it's still there, but is it as powerful because it's not as fresh? I don't know.
I have so many friends who every day they ask me, have they announced it yet? Have they announced it yet? Because I'm the Bachelor gossip person in our group. But I have so many girlfriends who love Roberto.
I love Roberto. I always loved Roberto. I'm just wondering if it's not as, it's not as heated. It's not as on fire.
And Sean's like Sean. The all-American boy. A lot of people have said, though.
The all-American boy and the, Latino guy.
The Latino flavor.
Hola, que tal, como estás? Think of it this way. If you combine the two of them, what if they both fall in love with the same girl?
Whoa.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's just all new variables.
And then maybe
the
tables are turned and she has to pick.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
Or they could both date me and then I get to pick which one I got.
No, Kathy and I can both go on. And then one of us gets one and one of us gets the other one.
Moving on, ladies. All right, got anything else?
ABC, call us.
No, that is it for news and gossip.
Okay, that's it for news and gossip. Thank you, Kathy. All right, and now predictions? Question mark?
I think question mark. I think we should just tell fans now, a little bit of what to expect.
All right, let's tease our finale experience because it's going to be intense. It's going to be good. It's going to be fun. We got a really inside look at everybody, and mm-hmm. we got a really up close look at the cast.
I mean, we were literally standing
with them,
touching them in the backstage, like not on purpose, but
but she was touching them on purpose. Not
you sound like stalkers.
No, but I mean, it was cool to see them and their personalities mm-hmm. when the cameras were off and not rolling. And I mean, anyone who's ever been to a finale taping or any taping, you realize that it's a lot longer than what you see on TV. We were there from noon until. Well, 8 p.m. is when we had to leave,
but it was going.
It was going on.
I had to leave even before y'all.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it went another 2 hours, so.
It
was a long day.
But just so definitely, guys, literally expect the unexpected. It is going to be a fantastic finale, honestly.
And expect the expected.
That, too.
There's a lot of drama. There's a lot of yelling, and it's hilarious.
Yeah. It's fantastic. So
a lot of humor, too. I feel like we laughed a lot.
Yeah. That was great. So get ready, guys. Make sure to tune in next week for us. So that's it, guys. It's the end of the show. So, Candid, where can they find you?
I don't. It's a really long
dun,
pause
dun,
there.
Dun, dun, dun.
Because I was giving the music a cue for our music.
You guys can. Oh, got it. You guys can tweet me at Candid Bliss.
And you can tweet me at Catherine Kelly.
And you can tweet me at The Everyday Man. So for the engineers in the back, for Marissa, Amir, Candon, Kathy, Chrisley, get better. I'm JC. We're the Bachelor Pad Nation. We'll see you next week.
Rock on.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.